It's a beautiful thing to be part of a loving and wonderful congregation. We are so blessed to have been a part as a participant, as a normal attender, and then now on staff. We're very grateful for each of you. Before we get started, I'd like to invite all of our youth parents. So if you have a child who is youth age, middle school and high school, this is for you. Last semester, we tried to have a youth parent appreciation dinner and had to postpone, and so that is postponed to February 11th. It's a Saturday, 6 o'clock in the evening. It'll be in the Family Life Center. The purpose of this gathering and this time, this dinner, is really to honor and thank you as parents for who you are, what you do, and just to say that we love you. It's also an opportunity for us, the youth, myself, the leaders, to serve you, let you know that you're important to us, and then also to give you a time to just come together and enjoy each other's company and not be in charge or responsible of anything. So February 11th, Saturday, 6 o'clock, please RSVP with us so we can know how to prepare, so we'll have enough food and tables set up. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Scott began a series on the church, and the first half of this series is focused on the internal health and growth of the body, the church. The second half, which will be next week and the weeks to follow, will be focused on the church's external focus and engaging outside of the body. And so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Scott spoke from 1 Corinthians 12. You may remember it. Dealing with the church being a community, that we are in fact the body of Christ, made up of many very different parts, but all working together as one body where Christ is the head of the church. He is our leader. He is the one that we individually and corporately follow. Last week, he spoke from John chapter 17, dealing with our relationships with each other and having unity in our community of the body, and how it is that we deal with one another, pointing to our relationship with Christ, that we have a healthy vertical relationship with the Lord so that we may have healthy horizontal relationships with each other, that we would have unity in this body that we have. Again, that we both individually and corporately together align ourselves with Jesus. And so if you were unable to attend or be a part of those services, they are available at the website, also at our app, the church app. So if you want to catch up or hear them again, they're available there. Our focus this morning is the participation of the body in this context of the local church. And so we're going to be reading from Ephesians 4, reading verses 11 through 16. And so we'll walk through these together. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me pray for us. Father, we are so thankful for who you are. We are thankful that you are the head, Jesus, are the head of this body, the head of this church, that we so desperately need you to be the one that leads us. As we heard last week, this illustration of the tuning fork, that we need to be aligned with you and looking to you as our standard. Jesus, I thank you for this church, this local body, what you're doing in our midst, that your presence is here with us. Lord, I pray that you would protect us from the evil one who wants to see division and destruction. Lord, may we be a people of unity as we gather together. May we be healthy internally as we go out externally to share your love. Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, that your spirit would convict and challenge us. May you speak through me. May you be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, we recognize our need for your spirit's power in our lives. I think of the commitment Tori and I just made and how desperately we need your empowerment to be faithful and true to what it is that we just committed to. And that's the case for each and every one of us. So Lord, may your will be done in this place this morning. And it's in the precious and powerful name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. We'll start with 11 and we'll kind of walk through these verses. It was he, speaking of Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And so we see here in this passage, we see it in Romans 12, I believe, 1 Corinthians 12, that God has given spiritual gifts to his people. He has given his people different skills, different abilities, different talents. He has given us different strengths. We have different weaknesses. That we are, in fact, interdependent with one another. That God has given us some very straightforward expectations as believers, but he's also given us some very specific tasks. Some of us are to go, many of us are to stay. We see that Paul planted and Apollos watered, that we have tasks that God gives us, and he gifts us and empowers us and gives us different abilities to do these things. Some teach, some preach, some have incredible mercy and compassion for others, others incredible prayer warriors. And so Pastor Scott talked about this 2 weeks ago, that there is not one part greater than the other, that when one of us suffers, we all suffer together, that when one of us has something to celebrate, this is something that we all together corporately we rejoice in because we are the body of Christ. There is this unity within us through Jesus. And so this illustration that is used in Scripture is a beautiful one of God's children, his people, working together in unity and harmony. And so one of the ways that I see this practically play out, one of the ways that I see this in application, hands-on, very much in our circle, is the unity and participation played within the youth ministry. Right? We serve alongside a great and wonderful group of leaders and parents and individuals of all kinds of ages. We have men, we have women, people that are in different seasons of life, different personalities, different skills, different abilities. And so I recognize our incredible need for our youth leaders, our parents, so that we can effectively train and disciple the youth that we have been so blessed to come in contact with. That it's definitely a team effort. So for example, we see, as you saw this morning, the band does a phenomenal job. That they have skills that I know nothing about. And so you'll never see me up there trying to play an instrument. Don't have it. And so I'm so thankful for their gifts, their abilities. And I find myself every week spiritually blessed, refreshed, and ready to teach. And oftentimes it's amazing how many youth Sunday mornings I come up kind of nervous and, you know, my stomach's a little that morning. And then by the time the band has led us, I'm at peace. That they lead us with how God has gifted them. It's beautiful. We have some people on our team who are outgoing, some a little more reserved, some that are very creative, which I rely on them because I'm not. We have some with great wisdom and discernment, some that are very detail-oriented, and so on are the skills and abilities of our team. And so the point is that we are a group of individuals with a variety of abilities, gifts, and talents working together in unity for the specific cause of discipling and reaching our youth. And so just a couple examples that I want to point to. Just this week, I received great feedback from a parent talking about one of our youth leaders who has been instrumental in the development of their children. That this leader has been faithful, this leader has taken them out to talk and to see how they're doing and pouring into them through small groups. And so we see it's youth pastor, it's small group leader, it's parents, it's the body, all working together to pour in to these students. I always love getting reports like that. So well done to our team. Last week we had a team of parents who worked very hard to put on a very tasty meal. And I want to say thank you to them. Again, it's a good thing I was not in the kitchen in charge of the cooking because it would not have been what it was. And again, I want to say thank you to all of you who came, who supported us, were there. We very much appreciate your support. I see our youth using their gifts and abilities as well to bless our group, to bless their community, and to bless this local congregation. And we saw that a little bit this morning, seeing just the variety of talents and abilities that they have. It's just such a joy to watch and see those things develop and grow and see how the Lord uses those interests to direct them and lead them. So some are to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. That as God's children, as we are gifted, as we are equipped, as we are empowered, as we teach and train, we are doing so for God's people to be equipped for works of service. That we, as his children, are a service-oriented type people, that our thinking is service-oriented. And this was one of our prayer focuses not long ago, right? That we, as a congregation, would be others-centered and not self-centered, which is so easy to fall into. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That is very much a part of who we are in Christ, is to do works of service, to do good works, to be a people of blessing, to be a people of service. And so as believers, we do this in the context here, locally, which is our focus this half. And then it's also in the context of serving and blessing and reaching out and being a testimony of who Jesus is to our community and to the world. And so we are to prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so again, as his children, gifted, equipped, given talents, abilities to serve the body. And so as we serve, as we come together and we serve one another, as we look to the needs of each other, as we carry one another's burdens, as we challenge one another, as we faithfully come and we participate and we're involved, as we sacrifice of our time and our resources for other people, in those things, in that corporate serving of one another, the body is built up and we grow together. This growing involves unity in the faith, knowledge of Jesus, and to become mature, grounded in Jesus. So I think this morning, each of us has a pretty good understanding of what it means to have unity. So if you drove here this morning in a car, that would be the way you would drive. So as you drove here this morning, you may know really well what it means for something to work in perfect unity. And so if you got here with no thoughts of your car, that probably means it was working in perfect unity. Unfortunately, we also may be aware of what it means for things not to work in unity, which ends up leading you taking your car to the shop, right? They're great when they work, but when they don't, such a headache. That we see and we know when things are working in unity, and we can tell when things are not. You can apply that to technology. If it works, great. If it's not, drive me crazy. See that in the context of a soccer team, and then you see that in the context of the church. When we're working in unity, it's a beautiful thing. When we're not, it's really not. So I know Pastor Scott spoke on unity last week, so I won't belabor the point. I won't spend too much more time on this. But I feel compelled to share something that I have learned and that the Lord has clearly convicted me and challenged me as I have been in this role at the church. My first full-time ministry here. And so before starting this position, as I mentioned, I was an active participant here, was involved with the youth group, teaching Sunday school, and very much enjoyed it. Being in that position, I was not in the inner circle of what was going on the leadership level. I know and understand how easy it is and can be to be critical of those who are in leadership and those who make decisions. I could, even now, even though I'm on staff, could complain. I could complain about what is our district doing? Why are they making the decisions that they're making? The national church level, why are they doing what they're doing, or now our soon-to-be future bosses, the international ministry team? What is this strategy that they're doing? We don't like it. We don't agree with it. We don't know what's going on. And so it's very easy to complain about those in leadership. And as I've stepped into what I would consider my role of leadership, which is not, like, I'm not going to minimize it, but my role of leadership. As I've seen that, I realize that there's usually a bigger picture of what's going on. There's usually a rationale behind the decisions that are made. And so the Lord has very much convicted me and challenged me that I am not to be a person criticizing those who are in authority or those who are in leadership. That instead of being a person of division, to be a person of unity and blessing. And that when I have concerns, to go to the source, seek clarity in my misunderstanding, to see where it is maybe that we disagree, and to do so in a loving way. So that's something I've learned and taken away from this experience at First Alliance, and I trust that that is a blessing and an encouragement to you. A little bit of a rabbit trail, forgive me. So as the body is built up, we reach unity, knowledge of Jesus, maturity, and attaining the fullness of Christ. And so as I think of that, the fullness of Christ, as I reflected on that and thought through that, the Lord immediately took my mind to Philippians chapter 2, where it says that you should imitate the attitude of Jesus, that we should be imitators of Jesus. Then the passage goes on and talks about that he is God. By very nature, he was God, but denied that he humbled himself and became a servant, that Jesus was a servant. The King of Kings, the Creator, the one who sustains all things, humbled himself and became a servant. So in Matthew 20, it says that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. And we see that played out very practically in the washing of the disciples' feet. He washes their feet, he humbles himself, does a nasty task of cleaning their feet, and then he tells them, I have set an example for you. Go and do as I've done for you. He has set the example for us to be servant-minded, to be servants of our body, servants of our world. And this is so important, from my own experience, to keep at the forefront of our minds, because this idea and this mentality is not natural to our flesh, and it is not natural to our culture. It's very countercultural to be servant-minded, to think of others, put others' desires and wants before your own. Not cultural. And so a couple of weeks ago, I shared with youth about some cultural differences. So growing up in Latin America, I've seen where I have different cultural differences than people here sometimes. Some of those are the way we greet each other. Here is with the handshake, nice to see you, nice to meet you. Whereas in Latin America, between men and women, there's the kiss on the cheek, and that's very natural and very normal. There, as you're entering, you greet everyone. As you're leaving, you greet you say goodbye to everyone. We're here, see y'all later. Nobody's typically offended by that. We'll see ya. Cultural differences. So when I went to Jordan for my internship, and the guys kiss, I think once on the right, three times on the left. For me, that was strange. That was a cultural difference. Took some getting used to. When I'm okay, that is not my norm. A cultural difference. Another example is that we here typically like our personal space, typically. right? That if you get too close to me, you're invading my bubble. Back off. Latin America, not so much. And so I remember coming to college some time ago and having my cousin Matthew helping me out and putting his long arm out and pushing me away and saying, dude, arm's length, give me some space. Because I was just all up in his face. And so if you've noticed I do that to you, my apologies. And so oftentimes what that happens is I take a step forward, they take a step back, I take another step forward, and now we started here and we're all the way over there. We're dancing. My point in all of this in saying that we have cultural differences is that we, in our culture, have norms that influence our behavior and our thinking. A typical American value, cultural norm, is individualism. This is played out in looking to the interests of self. And oftentimes, it means that we're looking through a lens that we look at any circumstance or situation and play it through the lens of how does this affect me and my interests. And so a way we see this is maybe in a high school, college graduation, and for those of you who were at chapel, recognize Stumbo put it this way, President Stumbo of the Alliance, said, you hear these speeches where it's, students, you have an unlimited amount of human potential that you can tap into, and you can do anything in this world that you set your mind to. Well, we know that that's not true, that we don't have an unlimited amount of human potential and that we can do anything. It doesn't take long to realize that we are actually broken and in need of Jesus' leadership in our lives. So when we say we are to be servant-oriented, others-minded, we realize that we're to be part of the body as it should be. We are actually going against the cultural norm of individualism and looking to my own wants and desires. And so unfortunately, if we're not careful, this way of thinking, this culture, this influence can begin to shape our thinking to where it starts to affect us. And so Pastor Scott alluded to this sometime in the last couple weeks. What is our attitude, or how is it that we approach church and the gathering of the body? Is it, what can they do for me? Or do we enter, what can I do for them? That yes, in the body there is supposed to be edification. There is supposed to be teaching and equipping, being taught and teaching, all of these things. But the attitude, how do I come? We're going to watch a quick, silly video.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
This video is obviously meant to be funny and kind of extreme. But it does draw our attention to examine our hearts and our attitudes with how we view the church, the body of Christ. I find this a good reminder and challenge for me, as it's easy for sometimes my selfishness to creep in for the motivations for why I do what I do here. I want to share a story of how looking to the needs of others in the body was rather significant in the development of my own spiritual life. So I came to college in 2005. I immediately started attending First Alliance, and if I'm honest, I wasn't a huge fan. As I look back, I realize that there was some immaturity in my attitudes towards that. I would come, I would attend, and then I would leave pretty quickly. That I didn't sense connected or involved, didn't really have any investment in the people, the church, the body. And it was my sophomore year that I began to help with the youth group. So much fun. It was with Eric Francisco, Michael Shiflett, and Matt Griffin. And that would have been middle school boys. So James Hunter was part of that, Sully Adams, Stephen Lee, Andrew Watkins, and the list goes on, a lot of those guys. So it was amazing how once I started to get involved, things began to change, and some of my attitudes began to change. Not all, because there was still lots of growing to do. But some of that began to change. That now, when I'd be here on Sunday mornings, I had a group of middle school boys running to me, excited to see me, to say, hey, catch up and hang out. And now I wasn't leaving pretty quick. I was one of the last ones to leave, which is more the norm of what I was used to. There was a sense of relationship with the parents that we got to know, and we're investing in your kids, and we're partnering together, and what can we do? And there was a sense of investment and ownership of, hey, this is my church, this is where I go, and this is a place that I want to bless and be a part of. So it's amazing how God knows what he's doing. That as he calls us into his service, the Lord uses that to develop us and shape us, and it draws us closer to him as our dependence is upon him and the things that delight God to begin to delight us. And so I can't say enough about how getting involved changed the trajectory of my future to where I am today. And so it's amazing. We're going to continue on in the passage. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. I think I skipped a slide. I did. My apologies. We're on this slide. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. So as we serve, as we plug in, as we faithfully participate, engage, as we grow in unity, as we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, as we disciple other people, as we teach and as we're taught, as we carry each other's burdens, as I've said, we begin to pray for one another and we keep each other accountable. In all of those things, all of those functions of the church, we begin to mature, to grow in our relationship with God and to grow in our knowledge of who God is, that we are no longer infants, but that we're mature, rooted in Jesus. And I have seen the value and the importance of body life in a church where a significant member, I think it was an elder, was influenced by a cultic teaching, to where this leader had an enlightened teaching and thought that everybody in the church was doomed for hell. This obviously is very concerning as the leader began to go to other Alliance churches and begin trying to influence and from their perspective save all of their friends with this new enlightened teaching that they had come across. Very concerning for the leadership of the church. But the church was mature and they stood the test of deceitful scheming and teachings that were not of God. And so lay leaders, people in the church, immediately stepped up to action, immediately started going to those who had been talked to and reinforcing the truth of Scripture, that they were equipped, they were trained, they were ready to handle the schemes of the enemy. A church rooted, mature, firmly founded in Christ. And so it is so important for each of us to be involved and invested, that we're serving, we're growing in our relationships with each other and growing in our relationships with God. Because as 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." It is vital that we are invested in one another as we look to Christ. We'll go to this slide again. "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Christ is the head of the church, the head of the body. And we want to be like him. This pursuit of Jesus is a daily thing, and there's scripture after scripture that talk about this daily surrender, this daily denial of self, this idea of remain in me, and Jesus says, "I will remain in you, and you will bear fruit. And apart from me, whether that's individually or in the church, if I'm not a part of it, nothing's going to happen." That we completely are dependent upon him. He is the head. He is the great shepherd. He is the one that leads us and guides us. Excellent message preached at TSC by President Stumbo a couple weeks ago. And if you want to look at or hear a great message on Jesus being our great shepherd, go to that. It's from Psalm 23. Excellent and encouraging. Jesus, our head, holds us all together in him. And we, as many individual, unique parts held together by him to do his mission. And so, as each does, each part does its work. That the growth and the building up of the church is the responsibility of each member, each part, not just a few. That every member is necessary to be involved, to participate, and to serve. Each part should faithfully and consistently be involved. That we should not give up the meeting together. That this is something beautiful. This is something that is just a wonderful celebration of who Jesus is as we come together to work together, to love one another, to have unity with one another. Vital for us as individuals and as the body to gather in the name of Jesus. A couple questions to consider, and we'll wrap up with this, is, am I serving others in the local church? Why or why not? So what is the motivation for maybe why you serve others in whatever capacity that may be? Or why not? What is it that might be holding you back? What are my works of service? Right? We see in this passage that some are to be apostles and preachers and teachers. Why? So that the body, or to prepare God's people for works of service. What are my works of service? How has God gifted me? What is my role? What can I do to serve others? With what attitude do I come to church? And I know Pastor Scott has touched on this idea of how do we enter this place? With what attitude? Am I already spiritually prepared because I've been in communion with the Lord as I enter this place? Am I ready to receive from his word? Am I ready to look to the needs and interests of others? Are there others who I can equip to serve with me? I'm very thrilled with our team, as you've heard me say. If something tragic were to happen to me, I think our youth group would go on just fine because we have an excellent team in place that they could pick up all of the pieces just fine and do a lot of the things that they're already doing. And I consider myself very blessed because I've talked to other youth pastors who struggle to find help. And we have abundant here. Thank you. So are there others who I can equip to maybe serve with me, or if and when I need to step back, that they can just take over and the transition is seamless? Is my service done with the heart of a servant? Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And I am guilty of sometimes serving with a very wrong attitude, where I come and it's, well, I've got to be here, but I don't want to be. And so this is very challenging for me, is the joy of Jesus in my service, in the things that I do for his body? And if not, I pray that he would always draw me back to him as I go to others. We are a part of a beautiful family, a privilege to be brothers and sisters united in our Christ, the head of our body. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your church around the world. Some of your people are living under very different circumstances than we are, and may be discouraged, and may be persecuted under great strain. You are the head of their body, of their church. Lord, I thank you for this local church and what you've done here and the people you've brought here and the people you're going to bring here. And Lord, may our eyes always be fixed upon you as we serve you in the different capacities of the church and the community. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this group. Jesus, we love you and we're so thankful that we can turn to you. We choose to be led by you. We want to be led by you so that we can look like you. Remain in us, Lord Jesus, so that we can bear much fruit. It's in your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just an invitation for coffee and connection after this. Now. Great. Good timing. A benediction for you. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.